Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And a very special and happy Mother's Day to the mothers out there. I hope you have a wonderful day. Let's pray. O Lord, our God, you are worthy of all our praise. You are the God who never fails to keep his promises. You are the God who lifts up those who are weighed down. You are the God who provides for your children. Our desire is to praise you as long as we live. Inhabit our praises as we gather together today. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The glory of God is the magnificence, worth, loveliness, and grandeur of his many perfections, which he displays in his creative and redemptive acts in order to make his glory known to those in his presence. The glory of God is interwoven throughout the biblical story and forms the origin content, the goal of the entire cosmic narrative. God's glory is the magnificence, worth, loveliness, and grandeur of his many perfections. God communicates his glory through his creation, image bearers, providence, and redemptive acts. God's people respond by glorifying him. God receives glory, and through uniting his people to Christ, shares his glory with them. And all of this contributes to his glory as God in his manifold perfections is exhibited, known, rejoiced in, and prized. An excerpt from an essay from a special seminary student who shared it with us online. The glory of God is described in many ways throughout the biblical text, and perhaps, at least in my opinion, the most impressive is in the beginning. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day." Some important notes here. God reserves just one verse to discuss the lights in the expanse of the sky being created. And I am continually amazed every time I open up to Genesis at truly how remarkably humble this is. Oh, way too far. The expanse of the heavens. The natural world created by God is literally evidence that starts to unravel the glory of God. We see this in living things, in biology, in our amazing connection with this world, but also, of course, in the expanse of the heavens. The night sky from Camp Lottie is shown in this image, but very, very faintly. And it doesn't show up as well as I had hoped, but you can imagine if you've been there, you can see the Milky Way just barely in the image here, how impressive it is. This image always reminds me of how blessed we are to live here in the Upper Peninsula, because, of course, having been from a city, it was very rare to see sights like that in my day-to-day. But for thousands of years, this is exactly what the night sky would look like. Actually, that's about what it would look like to city people. For thousands of years, this is what the night sky may have looked like to God's people. And it was accepted as the lights in the expanse of the sky. But of course, as the people started to watch the night sky every night of their life, they recognized things like constellations, cycles in the moon, and even cycles in the sun. And if you've seen it, of course, you know what I'm talking about. This next one should show up pretty well. The light that governs the day. the sun. Sun is obviously pretty critical to us. It is amazingly huge, powerful, and massive. And just a quick look at how powerful it is. Every 1 second, the sun out there today, every second, creates enough energy to satisfy all of humanity's energy needs for 1 million years, every single second. The sun is the life force that sustains us, and without it, we would perish very quickly, unless, of course, God intervened for us. And though the thought of the night sky reminds me of my favorite verse in the psalm, which is the scripture for this morning. Maybe. Ugh. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork, from the 19th Psalm, from David. And you might think, well, obviously, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. It's very obvious, but actually, there is quite a bit more to that story in this single verse from David in the Psalms. For thousands of years, the people of Earth have marveled at the heavenly bodies that God created, which, of course, proclaim his glory. But they started to notice things. For example, most of the stars every single night would move a little bit in one direction or another. But some of these little lights that were in the expanse of the heavens moved differently than the others. People started to study these little lights, and the more astronomers, physicists, scientists do study the heavens, the more I've started to realize that our English words, our human brains, cannot even begin to comprehend the expanse that God has created. As we learned in Genesis chapter 1, the heavens that he literally breathed into life. The more we look, the more impressive this expanse actually is. Since the life of Jesus, there have been many discoveries in the expanse of the heavens. For example, in the 2nd century AD, we learned that there might be certain lights that were orbiting other lights in the sky, and the concept of gravity started to take hold. In the 1500s, a guy named Copernicus proposed that planets actually orbited the sun rather than orbiting Earth, confirmed in the biblical text. 100 years later, another guy named Galileo, he created the first optical telescope, and he pointed it at some of these lights that didn't behave like the other lights in the sky, lights that would move randomly and sometimes stall in the sky from night to night and move backwards. And what he discovered, pointing his telescope at the lights in the heavens above, is that there was a little bit more than expected. He started making amazing discoveries. For example, when he pointed his telescope at one of the brighter lights, which was known at that day as Jupiter, he discovered that there was actually more than just that light out there. When he pointed his telescope there, he saw something like this. Maybe this. Technology is cool. Ty, you might have to help me out. I think it froze. There we go. Oh, way too far. You go back one. There we go. Oh, we had it. Well, as they mess around with that, he, of course, saw a better image of Jupiter, but what he actually also saw were 4 other lights that were orbiting Jupiter as he identified the 4 largest moons of Jupiter, now known as the Galilean moons. From this point on, the race has been on to discover the unknown that might have been hiding in plain sight Because as we looked with our naked eyes, we saw one light, Jupiter. But looking through a telescope, we discovered that there is more out there proclaiming the glory and proclaiming his handiwork. This is evidence of the glory of God. God knew that we would discover telescopes when we created the lights in the heavens, and he was preparing to show us more than we ever thought imaginable. There's Jupiter. There's the four moons. And next is our first quiz, which actually we do need to see. To understand the heavens, we first need to understand why it's called space. It's because out there is mostly space, and there's a lot of it. And we also need a lesson in scale. There we go. All right. Hold there. Everybody, don't breathe. Here's an image of Earth. And I've got three points here in space, point A, point B, and point C. My question for you is, in pop culture last year, one of the biggest things to happen in space exploration was that a couple billionaires managed to pay their way to buy companies and build rockets that can send them into space. Jeff Bezos is one of them. He spent $11 billion creating the company called Blue Origin, and he has sent several rockets into space, including one with himself on board, into space. Pretty impressive. My quiz for you, it's a rhetorical quiz, is how high did Jeff Bezos' rocket go? Point A, point B, or point C? And the answer is D, none of the above. It was a trick quiz. My Sunday school students are used to that, right? To actually see how high it went, we actually need to zoom into Earth. In fact, way into Earth. Maybe this will happen. There we go. The actual answer is Jeff Bezos' rocket, there's point A, by the way, for reference, made it right about there, if you can see the arrow, right about there. So not very far. That's what $11 billion gets you. But Jeff Bezos' rocket isn't the furthest thing we've sent, or even the furthest human that we've sent into space. For example, of course, the Apollo programs still hold the record at the farthest human from the Earth's surface. And so my next quiz for you is, how far is the moon from us with that same scale, point A, point B, or point C? And if you probably know me by now, you've already registered that it's another trick question. Point D, in this case, where the moon is actually, I measured it earlier, on the other side, the far side of the fellowship hall, if this was Earth at this scale. It's a long ways away, but it is basically next door in the cosmic framework. So Jeff Bezos and even NASA barely even leave the image of Earth, except in these few programs, maybe like Apollo, where they made it a little ways away from Earth. But let's keep talking scale for a minute. If Earth was a basketball, the moon would be the size of a tennis ball. We're doing this just for scale. The sun, that same sun that he made to govern the day, would be larger than the room we're in. In fact, it would be from about here to the kitchen, 107 feet in diameter. And it would be located 3/4 of a mile away, which is approximately from here at the pulpit to the Dave's BP gas pump. Pluto, formerly known as our ninth planet, at that scale, if Earth was a basketball, would be located just on the other side of Launce. Our sun is enormous and very far away, but it's nowhere near the largest star we've observed. For example, we have one star, a favorite star of mine called Betelgeuse. At this scale, again, if Earth was a basketball, that star would be over a mile in diameter. A mile in diameter. So the star I'm talking about is actually larger than the orbit of Earth. And here is a quick shot at what Betelgeuse looks like relative to our sun, which is right there. So if Betelgeuse was here and Earth was the size of a basketball, Betelgeuse would go from about here to the Ambassador Restaurant. Very, very large. So the lights God created are actually quite large. The next closest star to us, besides our sun, is called Proxima Centauri. It is actually a binary star, even though with our naked eyes, we can only see one light in the sky. How far is Proxima Centauri from us? If Earth was a basketball, the answer there is it would be on the moon. In other words, 25 trillion miles away from us. And this is just our closest star. So not only are the lights in the heavens very, very large, but the lights in the heavens are actually very far apart from each other. Back to history. I had a picture of Proxima Centauri, but it's not going to come up. Back to history, Galileo also used his telescope to observe that the Earth and Sun was located in a mass of stars, which made up of countless number of stars, and we call that now today a galaxy, and ours is called the Milky Way. Spanning many large, large distances between all these stars, there are approximately 200 billion stars making up the Milky Way alone. But it didn't take long looking at God's creation to start to realize that it wasn't just our galaxy either. Astronomers looked close to Cassiopeia and started to notice something very faint to the naked eye, the next closest galaxy to ours, a very massive object. It's really hard to see in the night sky, but through a telescope, we have identified Andromeda, and it is enormous. Maybe it'll come up, maybe it won't. Andromeda is 1.5 quintillion miles from us here today, give or take a few quadrillion. It is way out there, but even though it is that far away, Andromeda is so large that if we could see it all in the night sky, there's Proxima Centauri. Keep going if you can. If we could see it in the night sky, it would be 3 times the size of the moon, even though it is that far away from us. Andromeda is even bigger than the Milky Way. Oh, we're so close. This has to be it. What's really neat in this image of Andromeda, when you do see it, if you do see it, is you can actually see stars that are in the Milky Way in the foreground. You can see Andromeda, and you can see galaxies even beyond Andromeda. Scientists estimate that there are tens of billions of galaxies in the observable universe, and discovery is actually still taking place today. I like to think of it as our tax dollars are actively funding investigation into the glory of God for us. In 2004, the Hubble Space Telescope, at the time, was our most powerful telescope, and it orbits the Earth, was tasked with looking deep into the night sky at a place in the sky that was observed to be completely empty. In other words, they pointed our most powerful telescope at the darkest part of the sky, and it spent months collecting light because astronomers and scientists were wondering, what's out there? What's beyond what we can see? And again, the Hubble telescope took this photo over the course of a couple months, and this is what it returned, and it's a little bit hard to see for you again. But what is impressive to me, of course, is that this image is absolutely full of galaxies. If you were able to see it a little bit clearer, there are 10,000 galaxies observed in that image alone, in a picture that we took of the empty sky. Even in the empty parts of the sky, God is showing us his glory. He spoke these into existence, and it wasn't even the biggest part, the most impressive part of the first chapter of Genesis. The glory and the power of God is immense, in all capital letters. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. NASA's furthest out object is called Voyager 1. It's a space probe, and it was launched in the 1970s. After it had left the solar system's planets, way out past Lance, if Earth, again, was the size of a basketball, but still in our neighborhood by space standards, it was instructed to actually turn around and take pictures of all the planets and objects in the solar system. And when it took a picture of Earth and sent it back to us, it provided something absolutely beautiful. This image, which might show up, I'm not touching a thing, is called the pale blue dot. That's it right there. Thank you. This is the image that Voyager 1 sent back to us. And by the way, the sun was pretty close relative to the Earth in the image. The Earth is actually right about there. Yeah, right there. If you have really good eyes, you might see it. And the reason it's so small, of course, is that Voyager 1 is taking a picture of a basketball from 45 miles away. So keep that in mind. It's very small. In fact, it takes up less than one pixel in this particular image. This is a famous image, and it's called the pale blue dot. Earth is smaller than we think it is in the grand scheme of space. This pale blue dot is it. This dot is everything and everyone you've ever known, loved, and lost. Everything. And yet, that pale blue dot, God holds so dearly in his hands. This is the place that God created us in his image. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. Not only is God holding the world in his hand, he is sovereign over it, and he cares for its inhabitants more than we will ever know. And yet, his inhabitants choose to ignore him. His inhabitants, the inhabitants of the earth, have chosen to mock him. The inhabitants of the earth chose to hang him on the cross. God created this world for us. He created us in his image, and he loves this world. And he loves us. And yet, despite God's enormous and obvious power and glory to create these heavens, the ones that we see every night and continue to reveal themselves, we choose to ignore him. We choose to prioritize ourselves. We choose to disobey God that literally breathed the sun into existence. But we have a choice. Today, we can believe in the power of God. Romans 5, verse 8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Today we remember the glory of God. He is holy and he has given us everything. And he has humbled himself to do so. Perhaps observing the heavens, we can get a better understanding of how humble he has become to do this for us. The creator of this incredible universe wants a relationship with you and wants a relationship with me. And in fact, so much so that he sacrificed his son on that cross to pay for our ignorance. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's pray. Dearest Father and Almighty Creator, we ask for your grace this morning, despite our pride, your forgiveness, despite our doubt. We ask that you continue to reveal your glory to us. Most of all, Lord, we ask for your love to soothe us through this life. May we face whatever is to come in your divine will with courage and open hearts. We thank you that in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we see your love, justice, mercy, provision, and victory. In your name we pray. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. and have a wonderful Mother's Day.